our brains are not fully equipped with handling this version, this new version of storytelling. They will eventually, well, take over. Yeah. There's no way of avoiding it.
Yeah.
But we're not capable yet of processing everything.
Yeah.
There's so much research done on the topic. So maybe if you want to next time, we can go deeper into that.
Yeah.
But for now, let's keep the art of storytelling alive.
Yeah.
Let's get together. Let's tell stories. Let's be human and connect.
Okay, this has taken a different turn than I expected.
Jumping into the deep end.
Yes, wow. I jumped in so quickly that I didn't even introduce you.
Okay.
And so, but that's okay. I can chop this back in. And I need your last name again.
Badiokova.
Badiokova.
Yes.
I'm here with Nia Badiokova. And she is starting, hasn't started yet, right?
No, this is we're about to start.
We're about to start. I'll let you explain it, but a storytelling event, a storytelling venue.
Yes.
What's your super salesy, not embellished with pretty words, like answer? What is the problem you're solving for whom?
I am solving the problem of, well, we're losing human connectedness. And I think that going back to storytelling, the original forms of storytelling, is the way to solve that. It's meant for younger people, but also for anyone interested in sharing stories, hearing stories, relating to other humans, not via social media, but in person. I think the problem that we're currently facing is that social media is bombarding us with a lot of information all the time. It's giving us zero time to process the emotions that are being conveyed through all the reels and the stories and whatnot, the posts.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there without context and without time to process emotions. So our brain gets overwhelmed and overstimulated, and it hijacks so many core aspects of how our brain is supposed to work.
Yeah. Okay.
And we're losing this idea of what actual sharing and connecting feels like, what hearing a long story is.
Okay.
That was very not polished.
No, it was not, but that was awesome, because that was like from the heart, and that's what you mean and that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
So again, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, and just for a moment, and I won't stay in this mode the whole time, but I really want to get it clear. So there's a problem, and there's a hero has a problem, and you're the guide who's going to help them solve the problem and achieve success.
Yes.
So I know, I'm so transparent, and yet it works. So the problem then, and I like to try to whittle it down as much as possible. The problem is the problem human connection, the lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and also real life human connection.
Authentic, not real
like
life
a
human connection.
Better Zoom call.
No.
Or a better technology on your phone camera.
Nope. Not extending reels by 5 seconds. None of that. Real, authentic human connection.
In person.
In person.
Real life.
Absolutely.
Right there in the same room.
Yeah, in the same room. You get to talk. You get to listen to other stories. It's about connecting, communicating ideas, messages, stories.
Okay, so the problem is human connection.
Yeah.
Well, the lack of human connection. Yes. And then the hero, the person who has this problem, the people who have these problems, are you're geared towards young people, but it could be anybody.
Could be anybody. I see younger people as severely lacking, real human connection.
Is that because of the social media and because of all the...
Yes, they're
just glued to your phone?
Exactly. Thing? I was having this conversation with a friend of mine recently, and they're in their very early 20s. And they said, my way of communicating with my friends nowadays is just sending reels to each other. And that's how I know they care for me. And that's how we talk about our problems.
Oh.
We find a relatable meme or reel and we just share it to each other.
Oh, they don't even create it themselves.
No,
they just share this thing I found.
They just share something that they saw. So if they're having a work problem, they just find the reel that is semi-related to their work issue and they send it to their friend. And that's how they communicate that they're having this issue. And then the friend just reacts to it and is like, okay, understood. And it struck me as this bizarre way of interacting as humans. So instead of using your own story, instead of sharing your own problem and communicating, you're using another person's curated 30-second video to express how you feel.
Because I actually thought that was okay for a moment, because I thought, oh, well, you're just like we're doing right now. We are creating a video. We're talking. We're having a conversation. But no, they're not creating their own thing. They're not getting in front of the camera.
No.
They're sharing someone else's thing, which, may I add, might be AI, totally fake. Who knows?
Absolutely.
And they share that thing that, oh, that's how I feel.
Yes.
And I'm going to share that.
Yes.
Wow. I didn't even know that. I'm learning something today, too.
No context, no authenticity, no emotion in it as well. And also, no opportunity for the other person to relate and to give you feedback. They just react to the real and go, oh, I guess that's something that's prevalent on your mind.
So, this is fascinating. do they say, like, okay, here's the real about me, stupid, I'm drinking too much tea.
Yeah.
And here's the real about this person who drinks too much tea.
Yes.
And then do I say, like, hey, Joe, this is Bradley, I'm drinking too much tea.
Oh, so many words. You're using too many words. because I too got absolutely intrigued by this concept, and I asked the person to show me the interaction that they were having.
Oh, really?
And it will go real, and then underneath, relatable.
That's it.
Post 100%. Another real?
No way.
Yeah, and that is all the information you're getting. And again, how is the other person supposed to know the severity of the situation, the emotions, the context? None of it. And then the other person will just laughing emoji, heart emoji, reacting to that reel.
Okay, I'm really glad we're having this conversation. I'm clearly not in that.
Topic.
No, not at all. Not at all, because we are addressing the problem.
Fair enough.
Right? And then you're going to solve this problem.
Yes, this
or
is
an element of it.
This is a... I see it as, for myself personally, while I do still text my friends and call my friends to share my problems, I'm old school like that, I do find myself scrolling on Instagram, and then every now and again, I'll watch this reel that's a 30-second heartbreaking story, just heartbreaking story. Then I'll just scroll to the next one. And it's a girl laughing and like showing me her outfit. And then after 15 minutes of that, I'm just sitting there with this mix of emotions that is not even my emotions. It's not even my thoughts or stories, but my brain has not had the time to process it. And you want to relate and you want to reach out and you want to be human about it, but how can you be human about it?
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what started this whole concept in my head, just observing how we interact with social media. But also observing how people relate to the concept of storytelling. When I started talking to people about it, they say, oh no, I cannot perform in front of an audience. I cannot be up on stage. Like, you're thinking of it in the wrong way. Think of it as sitting around the campfire and telling each other spooky stories or like funny stories or real life stories. It's not about the performance, it's about communicating a message, an idea, something you're passionate about, something you're sad about. Yes, in a performative way, because you can use props and instruments. We talk about vocal variety and body language.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's a form of communication, and we're losing it. It's centuries old art of storytelling that has kept cultures alive and people going and families thriving, and we're losing it.
Okay, this has taken a different turn than I expected.
Jumping into the deep end.
Yes, wow. I jumped in so quickly that I didn't even introduce you.
Okay.
And so, but that's okay. I can chop this back in. And I need your last name again.
Badiokova.
Badiokova.
Yes.
I'm here with Nia Badiokova. And she is starting, hasn't started yet, right?
No, this is we're about to start.
We're about to start. I'll let you explain it, but a storytelling event, a storytelling venue.
Yes.
We're in Utrecht in the Netherlands. And it's going to be live in person once in a while, once a month?
Once a month. We're trying to do it once a month. And it's a storytelling night where we have speakers that have signed up beforehand, but also speakers that decide to
So it's open, sort of like an open mic night element
Something
to
like
it?
That. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Okay. But the idea is no phones, no notes, no perfection, no pretense.
Okay. Yeah.
A bunch of people sitting around the stage on couches and just listening to stories and people sharing stories. You get 7 to 10 minutes to share your message, share your story. Mm-hmm. Of course, like any other story, it has to have a beginning, a middle, and somewhat of an end.
Yeah.
So we need to have, you know, a clear thread. But yeah, that's it.
So Nia and I know each other from Toastmasters. And Toastmasters, if you're not familiar with Toastmasters, it's a public speaking, what do you call it, organization to help improve your public speaking. They also say leadership, yes, if you choose, but it's mostly about public speaking. And I don't know, we'll hear your opinion, but I've been in it for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, and I've also done improv comedy. And so what's interesting about that is I find Toastmasters so incredibly structured. For me, I see it like a government organization, right, with like bureaucracy and layers and bureaucracy, really.
Yeah.
And like, if you want to do this study program, it's difficult and you have to dig in and all this stuff. And so, because when you said campfire, I'm very visual.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing this campfire,
mm-hmm.
and I'm seeing the friendliness of it, the opening, the welcoming aspect of it. And there's no judging. There's no, that was wrong, you didn't use your voice correct way, or whatever.
No.
Whereas Toastmasters is all about that for our learning goal to learn to become a better public speaker. But I'm so glad we're having this conversation, because I see this as so different.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, you're on stage. Yes, you're talking or performing. Except there, the goal is what's the goal of Toastmasters? To
perfect your public speaking.
To perfect your public speaking.
To become the best public speaker you can be,
in
a sense, I think. That's why we have all the evaluators and all the different roles trying to make sure that it's not about the content so much, but it's how you present the content in a way.
Yeah, okay.
I think.
Yeah. And then here, this is so good. Because this is not the goal here.
No.
The goal is not to tell your story in a better performative way.
No.
I mean, that might happen.
As the MC of the night, my goal isn't to give you feedback, to give you tips, or to tell you how to tell your story better.
Yeah.
It's about me giving you the chance to sit in a room with other people, some of which older, younger, different countries, and share your story and have this beautiful moment of connection with others. I've been lucky enough to speak and perform at other venues, at other events similar to the one I'm organizing.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant. You go there and for 2-3 hours, you forget about the outside world. And you get on this roller coaster of emotions with the people speaking. And you go through it together. They provide you with the context, with the information. You see in their eyes the real emotion. No filters. No, let's pause and re-record this.
Right,
It's in real life. It's right there. Them going through it and you go through them. You go through it with them. As a matter of fact, I think the best compliment I've gotten, and one of the main reasons why I'm doing this, is after one such event, I had a person come up to me. I didn't know this person. And they ran to me and hugged me. Yeah, I was shocked. And they said, with tears in their eyes, they're like, thank you so much for sharing this story. I've been going through the same thing, but I never found the right words to express it, and I was thinking I'm the only one going through this.
Wow.
And I was thinking to myself, my first thought, which is also scary, is, oh, there's a community about this on Instagram.
Right.
But that's not the same.
Yeah.
It's not the same. So that's really what triggered me almost, or pushed me to say, hey, even though I'm relatively new to storytelling, I've been in Toastmasters for 2.5 years now, something like that.
Yeah.
I've been telling stories for about 2 years. Let's do this.
Yeah.
There's a need to do this.
I'm checking green lights.
Ah, okay. I was like, did I say something?
No, not at all. Sorry.
So that's the point. The reason why I'm doing the event and the main goal of this event is to have people connect with others, relate, share stories, create this little community almost. And of course, in the process, also allow speakers to get on stage, have one more speaking opportunity,
right.
have one more
right.
place where they can freely express themselves without, well, we talked about Toastmasters, but that's not the
right.
only organization that
right.
limits you.
Right.
You're free to choose your topic. You're free to choose if you want to use instruments, props, slides.
Okay.
You
yeah.
can, I can accommodate all of that.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
Yeah.
I just want to give speakers the freedom to get on stage and focus on communicating with others,
yeah.
communicating with the audience. No phones, no notes. The goal isn't perfection.
Okay.
The goal is to be authentically you in that moment.
Okay, I could see a, sort of two audiences listening or watching. And there's the person who's potentially thinking, I want to be on stage, I want to share my story.
Yes.
But then there's another audience, which is, I would love to hear that or go to that.
Yes.
As an audience.
Yes.
Okay. And so for the one thinking of being on stage, what should they like expect? What should they prepare? You said it like sounds like the only sort of guideline is 7 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, 7 to 10 minutes, so we can, you know, we have an estimate of how long the event is gonna
right.
be. That's more for us as organizers.
Yeah.
Again, have a beginning, middle, and end to your story.
Okay.
How you prepare is really up to you. It's up to the speaker. I personally like to write the key things that I want to say and make
yeah.
sure they're organized in a way that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I
yeah.
kind of decorate them based
yeah.
on how vulnerable I can be tonight on this particular stage,
right.
how safe I feel, or
right.
what mood I'm in. But everybody has their own process. We know people that write their entire story
yeah.
and then almost memorize
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I also know brilliant speakers who just have an idea and they go on stage and speak
yeah.
for 10 minutes and
right.
have no issues with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only real rule, again, is no phones, no notes, no iPads.
For the person on stage.
For the person
well,
on
ideally,
stage.
Well, ideally, you're not on your phone
yeah,
in the audience either.
Ideally.
Scrolling away.
But honestly, I've been to so many of these events. I've never seen people scrolling.
No,
never.
No.
There's something so captivating
yeah.
about it,
yeah.
and it taps into a almost a more primal version of who we are. Something so deeply ingrained in who we are, nobody checks their phone.
You know what's cool? I think the type of person who is going to go to such an event
mm-hmm.
is also the type of person who's not interested in scrolling. That's why they're there.
Probably. Or somebody like me who does find themselves scrolling because it's so accessible,
it's always
easy. And then after 30 minutes just ends up sitting there in their chair going,
yeah.
what happened to me? What did
yeah.
I go through exactly? But you were saying how there are two audiences, and there are. But it's so often that people who are sitting in the audience listening to the stories by the end of the night come up to the MC and go, actually, do we have like 5 minutes?
Because
I want to tell
whoa.
A story as well. Which is so
that's
beautiful.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because we have this again notion that this is a performance. So you have to be a performer, you have to be a storyteller,
yeah, yeah,
a public
yeah.
speaker,
yeah.
a keynote speaker.
Right.
No. We all can tell stories. We
yeah.
all have stories to tell.
Yeah.
And by the end of the night, people realize that it's not so scary. It's not foreign to them. It's not like singing in the opera or,
yeah.
you know, in a ballet.
Yeah.
No, it's something that we can all do. Yes, with a little practice. And yes, we might stutter or forget a few words.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day.
You know, what do you see like for someone who's thinking about going up on stage.
Okay.
Like what would it look like when they've done it? Like what are they feeling? Maybe the next day or a week later. What are they, I don't want to say that, what do they get from it? But I kind of want to say that. What do they get from it? Do they get something off their chest? Do they, have they shared something that maybe they've been holding back?
Well, obviously it depends on the story.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
But I would say a wonderful feeling of acceptance. Just
okay.
sitting in a room with 200, 300 people and going, oh, oh, I just got this off my chest, or I told this joke, or I was vulnerable, and it was okay.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Even if the joke didn't land, or even if you started crying and then couldn't get your words out, it was okay.
It's
a beautiful feeling, truly a beautiful feeling, of just feeling like you're connecting to others, to strangers, in a very authentic, primal almost way. There's something very, very, very honest about this experience.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a system reset. It makes you forget about the problems that are outside of the door. It makes you forget about that influencer that you're following and whether or not they, I don't know, got to their Starbucks sometime.
Right.
It makes you focus on the present moment. It's an exercise in being present, in being empathetic and mindful. It's an exercise in connecting to others. And most of all, it's a way for you to just feel how wonderful it feels to be authentic and human amongst other humans, regardless of titles, regardless of where you are in your career, your relationship, or anything else.
You know, there's a quote I like. It's something like, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes.
Because I think about, again, we met in Toastmasters, and so, Toastmasters has competitions, contests, and I get it. I understand why, and there's benefits to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see, like, your evening, it's not about a competition. It's not about which talk was better or whatever. I think it's kind of cool that that's not the case.
No, not
that's
at all. I think the two things are not mutually exclusive. Of course. The competitions, contests are great. They motivate you. They kind of push you to get better, to think of
practice more.
Exactly. And, to think of storytelling and public speaking as a craft that you need to hone, like an art form. But this is, there's no competition. There's no you did it better, you didn't do it better. As a matter of fact, I am trying to have a variety and a range of speakers, from seasoned speakers that have been doing it for ages to newbies who are going on stage for the first or second time. Because again, I want to connect a bit of a community, start a bit of a community where people can exchange practices and give each other advice and say, hey, that was a beautiful story that you have. Can I help you relate your message even better? Can I help you?
Oh, that's cool.
Or, oh, maybe I went through this 10 years ago. This is what helped me go through it.
Okay.
This
is all wonderful, but I think, but the reason we're sitting here is you're starting this thing.
Yes.
Like, from scratch.
Yes.
There's nothing, and you're creating something.
Yes.
That's kind of daring.
It is.
And you're doing it.
Fail fast, fail often.
Fail fast, fail often. Okay, so you're in Utrecht.
I am in Utrecht, yes.
And tell us a little bit about this venue. How did this come about? How did you start this? Where were you inspired? And then let's get some serious details, like where's the location, and then what time? I know it could change. I mean, the times could change or whatever, but.
Okay, a lot of questions. Let me start with, the reason why I'm doing this is because in Utrecht, where I am, there are open mic nights, storytelling nights, but spaces are limited. Spaces are limited, it's not so common, and usually it's for more seasoned speakers, at least from what I've seen.
Okay.
There's a couple
more of like a show with a headliner and come see this guy tonight or whatever?
A little bit,
okay.
And again, the places that are more freeform open mic night-like, those things happen once every few months.
Okay.
And spots are really limited.
When you say spots are limited, you mean it's a small location? Like there's only 12 people standing there? Or
I mean the spots for speakers.
Oh.
Yes, because if everybody goes on stage and talks for 10 minutes, you cannot have endless amount of speakers.
Right. It's an 8-hour evening.
Can you imagine? A marathon. But I'm doing it at Bar Walden at Domplein here in Utrecht.
Okay.
They have a bunch of other events, and I'm in charge of organizing those events.
Okay.
And I was thinking, why not have this thing? Yes, it's daring. Yes, it's bold. Yes, I don't know how it's going to work out.
Oh. Wow.
But I think it's going to be great. And I firmly believe that if you're passionate about something, and if you truly feel like it can help people,
yeah,
you got to stick to it and you have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not every edition is going to be packed with speakers.
Right.
Maybe it will be. I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
But this is where my passion is leading me.
Wow.
So I'm doing this. First one is on March 4th at 8:30. So...
And can you give the it's Walden, like
Walden, yeah.
W-A-L-D-E-N.
Exactly.
Okay.
But the address is Domplein 16.
Domplein 16.
Domplein 16.
Okay.
It's a beautiful little cozy bar.
Yeah.
We're revamping it a little, putting a stage and whatnot.
Okay.
So we are extra comfortable. We cannot light a fire in the middle of the bar. I checked.
No official campfires. Maybe an LED light campfire of some kind.
I'm considering the option.
Or the flickering foil.
Or just me in the background with like...
with a candle. Yeah. Probably can't do that either.
Two candles.
Yes.
But yes, we're making it extra cozy, extra warm and neat.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Wow. This location, so 8:30 on a Wednesday.
8:30 on a Wednesday.
And can you eat anything at this place? Or
you can have
drinks,
dinner.
You can have dinner
drinks.
There.
Yeah, you can have dinner.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize
that. Yeah, it's a bar restaurant. By 8:30, we would prefer to have dinners pretty much done.
Done, okay.
Yeah, so we can start the storytelling night. But of course, you can still grab a bite. You can grab snacks.
Yeah.
And the bar will be open the whole night for us. So wow. Laugh or cry or whatever else we do in the meantime and in between. There will be drinks.
Wow. I know people can look this up, but if they were to go to Central Station, how far of a walk is it from Central Station? Utrecht.
I would say 7 to 10 minutes.
Okay. Super close.
Super close. Right. Very accessible. Great spot.
And is there a charge to walk in the door?
No.
Free entrance.
Free night of entertainment.
Okay. And it goes from 8:30 until roughly?
8:30 until roughly 10:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if they want to apply to be a speaker,
there's a sign-up sheet. Yeah. So
like they're in person.
Well,
or something in advance. Or?
There's an online sign-up sheet. I would like to know how many speakers are showing up on the day of.
Okay.
And luckily, we still have a couple of spots available.
Okay. For that first March one.
Yes, for the first March one.
Okay.
So if anybody wants to sign up, you still get a chance to do so. But yes, there's an online sign-up form.
Is it an easy URL you can say, or should we just put it in the description?
It would be great if we can put it in the description.
Okay. All right. So we'll put. And so there's going to be a form to fill out, and then. They have to be accepted, I suppose?
Or? Not really.
Not really.
So in the form, you're going to see again the rules or the guidelines for the night.
Okay.
Things like be present by that time, talk to your host, tell me if you're going to use any instruments so that I can, you know, accommodate that.
Yeah.
And it's just your name, phone number for correspondence, that sort of thing.
That's it.
Yeah.
This is the title of my talk I'm going to talk about. None of that.
Okay. Is just, I would like to know in advance.
For planning.
Exactly.
Roughly, how many speakers do we have? And then do you sort of confirm, hey, Joe, you're on?
Yes,
And then, hey, be there, please?
Exactly. I'll be confirming with people.
Okay. And for an audience member, so you said there's no fee to come in, you get a drink and some snacks, but no fee, no door fee.
Nothing.
And do they need to reserve, or should they, or would you prefer that they do, or anything like that?
For now, it's free walk-in.
For now, just walk in.
Yeah, for now, just walk in. The bar is big enough to host enough people.
Okay.
If we get to a point where we fill up the whole place, I will make it reservations only.
Okay.
Mostly because I would like to keep this relatively intimate, relatively a safe place where people feel comfortable to share.
Okay.
This is not meant to be a 400, 500.
Right. It's not a stadium.
Audience members, exactly.
Yeah.
It's meant to be intimate, warm, safe.
Roughly how many people are in the audience, you think?
I would say 70, 80.
Oh, 70, 80. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's not...
It's not that little.
I mean, you know, you get your little Utrecht cafe where 12 people can sit.
Well... So we'll see how many people show up.
Right.
But,
that's cool.
70, 80 people.
Okay. So you said March 4th?
March 4th.
March 4th. Wednesday, March 4th, 2026. in the center of Utrecht, in Domplein 16.
Absolutely.
Walden. Wow. Okay.
Walden Storytelling.
This is the first one.
First one. I am so excited. Okay. And it feels like a little dream come true.
Wow.
Maybe a little prematurely, but a dream come true because, again, I'm so passionate about this.
Yeah.
I travel around trying to find events like this so that I can speak, but I can support other speakers
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
And now that I have the opportunity to do my own storytelling night and host my own storytelling night, I am beyond excited.
Yeah.
And I would love for people to show up, to support the speakers, yeah. to support the event. And again, help us build this little community.
Yeah.
Safe haven for both speakers and audience members.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, I have an idea.
Go ahead.
I would love to. It's currently end of February.
Yeah.
And the first one's March 4th.
Yes.
And you see, once a month you're planning?
Yes.
Okay. So why don't we talk again?
Absolutely.
After March 4th.
Okay.
I don't know, mid-March or something.
Okay.
And have a little recap of how things went.
Okay, I love that.
And we can talk about it again, and then, shall I be so positive and say we can then announce the second date?
I hope so.
Yes, or we can say fail fast, fail often. No one showed up, and it was a bomb, and we had frites with mayonnaise.
Well, if that is what happens, we'll learn from it, and we'll develop the concept better for the next time.
Yeah.
It's. It is an opportunity. It's a possibility that it happens. I doubt it. I highly doubt it. But if it does happen, I'll be honest about it. I'll tell you.
If Mia can be here and set this thing up and put it out there and risk it all and fail fast and fail often to create, I'm all into creating, right? Mm-hmm. I want people who create things, mm-hmm. and especially from nothing. Like you've created, there was nothing, and now there's a thing.
Yes.
And it's scary.
Very.
Because the thing could bomb, and that's okay. But if there were no risks, then there's no real connection or heart. They say if like, oh, I'm going to lose this sugar. Oh, this is my sugar packet, and I lost it. Well, I don't really care because that sugar packet doesn't mean anything to me. I didn't put any effort or any of my heart into that sugar packet. And there's a whole bunch more right there anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's no big deal. Whereas this thing, I say this because I talked about becoming a writer for like 8 years, and I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And I called myself a closet writer because I was scared to put it out there to say, I want to become a writer, because once I admitted it to the public, mm-hmm. then I had to follow through.
Yeah.
And then I could fail.
Yes.
Because if this were just your hidden dream, your secret dream to run this event, mm-hmm. and you didn't tell anybody about it, or you mm-hmm. said, I'm going to start it someday. Then then it's still safe and you can't fail. But now the fact that Nia is putting herself out there on March 4th and this could totally fail makes it all the more exciting and real, and then makes the success all the more sweet. So I really admire you for that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. I keep telling myself that even if this edition of the event or this version of the event fails, because of my passion, because of my heart work and effort to make it happen, it will happen.
Yeah.
Someday, somehow, it's going to happen. But yes, it is very scary.
Yeah.
It's very scary, but I don't have time to lose.
Yeah.
So we're doing it. We're doing it.
We're doing
Now's
it.
The time.
I love it.
No time like the present.
Wow. Okay. Well, you've heard it before it all happened, before it all gets started and created. You've now seen it here. This is the before and after picture. This is the before.
Yes.
This is the before picture. So we'll see what the after picture looks like sometime in March.
Absolutely.
When we have another chat and hear about how it went, how that first night went. And I'm super excited about it. I'm still a little freaked out about that thing where you said I send a reel of that guy is exemplifying how I'm feeling and I send it to you. I'm like, wow, that still kind of blows me away.
It's great.
And I think that's even, you know, I talk about the problem and solving the problem, and it's like, well, that's even a deeper problem than I even had imagined. Because mm-hmm. I think I'm very old school and I want to be, like, that's why we're in Toastmasters. We're not in the online Toastmasters. Mm-hmm. We're in the real, every other Friday, up there at the Florin, mm-hmm. in the stinky attic. And we are there in person and we lay it all out on the stage.
Yep. there's nothing wrong with Zoom Toastmasters or Zoom storytelling, yes. public speaking, but it is a completely different
game. It's a different experience.
It brings you a different feeling.
Yes.
Almost.
Yes.
This is in person, and yes, the social media stuff is very scary. Mm-hmm. Very scary. Our brains are not fully equipped with handling this new version of storytelling that will eventually, take over.
Yeah.
There's no way of avoiding it.
Yeah.
But we're not capable yet of processing everything.
Yeah.
There's so much research done on the topic. So maybe if you want to next time, we can go deeper into that.
Yeah.
But for now, let's keep the art of storytelling alive.
Yeah.
Let's get together. Let's tell stories. Let's be human and connect.
I was just going to summarize, but she just did.
Sorry.
So we're good. So we'll see you on March 4th in Domplein 16 at Walden for the very first. What is it? What's it called? Is it called?
Walden Storytelling Night.
Walden Storytelling Night. There you have it. All right. Thank you, Mia.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Bye for now.
Bye.